All right. Welcome to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston and the Conscious Resistance Network. My name is Derek. I'm here with Micah.
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be on KPFT in the 3 o'clock hour Friday. And I'm just cruise around in the car and I listen to so much diverse stuff and I listen to KPFT and I hear a lot of stuff going on there more and more so. And I have renewed joy with being a member. I mean, with being, you know, a member of the force here broadcasting and keeping the station alive. I mean, it's really kind of an honor when you look at it. We've been here for a minute. So I'm glad for Johnny and Derek and everybody that have done the work. I've been out last week and thankful for the station, looking forward to getting back and thankful for our contributors, the people that thumbs up the videos and share, help get the word out in that way. We have been having people that contribute to the station. I think that's super important because we're broadcasting down here, not just over all the interwebs and on iHeartRadio, all that stuff, but over the FM band. And in that band, we're more free than we often are on the internet, as Derek and Johnny and all of us have discussed. And that's a resource in an ideas, you know, getting the ideas out. So if you're looking for a way to contribute and you can even put a little bit into KPFT in the name of Freethinker Radio, thanks a lot. You know, we need that to keep us both relevant to them and, you know, to keep the station broadcasting every single day. We've had people driving through in cars call us and say, we've never heard anything like you. And we're just passing through Houston because a lot of big freeways go right through here all across the country. You know, it's a hub. And
we're excited to be here again. If you're new here, if this is your first time listening for some reason, this is Freethinker Radio. As Micah said, we broadcast every week live across multiple pages. We're live on DLive, we're live on Float, and of course Facebook. And then on Friday afternoons at 3 p.m. Central, it plays on KPFT 90.1 in Houston. And if you want to visit our website to find out more about our radio station, you can go to thehoustonfreethinkers.com, find out a little bit about our history. You can see some of the archives of our past episodes if you want to get plugged in there. And what we try to do is bring you uncensored news, underground music, important topics that aren't always discussed in the mainstream, and as well as make this an interactive show. So those of you who are listening and wherever you're listening, we'll highlight some comments throughout the show and share that with our viewing audience. But let's just get into it, Micah. New president. Is your life any different?
Oh man, I survived. I guess they had the hype up so much that I was a little bit concerned about what would happen. I made sure I had gas ahead of time, you know, that sort of thing. Living in a hurricane area, you know how to be on that first level of preparedness always. But no, my life hasn't really changed. I expect it to change though, you know what I'm saying? I really do. And I don't know why that's the case. Maybe it's all the intensity in the air, all the we've got a whole new cabinet to look at. You know, maybe things will be good. You know, everybody seems so upset about the Cheeto that this here this has got to be something different. You know what I mean? It's got to be different, don't you? Wouldn't you imagine? I mean, it's got to be something powerful.
It's interesting to me, though, because like you said, there's people who, you know, we have a wide audience. People, we're live right now across 5 different Facebook pages. We're going to be on KPFT, which is kind of like a more progressive leaning station. We've got a wide audience who's going to hear this. And there is a diverse representation of opinions from people who are very sad and upset about Trump, you know, not somehow being able to fight the deep state and stay in office, and who think this is kind of the end of the world because Biden's in office. And others who, like much of the mainstream media, is basically kind of deifying Biden right now and like just celebrating. We had all this huge celebrity, U2 and Garth Brooks and Lady Gaga and all these celebrities out there. Oh, Tom Hanks had a special last night, like to celebrate that, yes, Trump is gone and Biden's here, everything's going to be better, you know? Yeah, they got Tom Hanks to come out. And, you know, so it's interesting to kind of see, to sort of watch these perspectives. Like I have some associates on both sides and people who think that probably the world has finally been saved from the clutches of this madman, as you said, Cheeto, and the other people who are like, oh my God, the radical communist terrorist leftist extremists are about to take us over in China. You know, it's just, the truth is somewhere in the middle. But I think that what we're going to show today is really, it doesn't seem like much is going to change. I mean, I know that you've got a lot of stories to cover as far as like the cabinet. I know that one pick I saw was like that he's already bringing back a guy from Monsanto to head the USDA. This guy that literally had the nickname Monsanto Man. You know, there's
Monsanto
just like.
Man.
So, I mean, let's go ahead and get into it. I've got a couple of your articles pulled up that
Let's just talk about his cabinet. Let's cut into that CVS that, you know, this shows his cabinet. And you know, there's one paragraph of this article. I mean, it's everywhere. You can find it everywhere, you know, and everybody's got an opinion about it. But on CBS there, they talk Senate confirms Biden's first cabinet nominee. And it goes down through. And if you get past that car commercial or whatever you want to say there, this paragraph, Senate committees began Tuesday to hold confirmation hearings for five of Mr. Biden's picks just before his inauguration. Janet Yellen, nominee for Treasury Secretary. Haynes, nominee for Director of National Intelligence. Lloyd Austin, nominee for Defense Secretary. Tony Blinken. Oh, that's a great name. Blinken. Hey, Blinken, nominee for Secretary of State. And Alejandro Mayorkas, some of these names sound familiar to me, nominee for Homeland Security Secretary. And so, you know, I just started checking in these names on the first level of such stuff, Derek. And I appreciate it that you have brought up the FDA individual. I had these links all open, but
I got the Wikipedia pages open. I'll pull them up here for each of them.
Two that I found interesting was the Avril Haines individual, you know, because mm-hmm. I was like thinking about what these posts had in mind and, you know, how much power they had. And, oh, you know, we're talking about everybody's out there thinking the world's saved in certain sectors of my feed, at least, you know. and so I'm just like, well, maybe I want to feel some of that energy. Let me check, you know. I mean, I don't want to be like, oh, my goodness. But check it out. Like, no, you don't have to go too far in here and you get, okay, she's involved in getting the torture report. It's a woman in positions that women haven't been before. That's always, you know, progressive. And, you know, in the end of this thing, they say only 525 pages of a 6,700 page CIA torture report were released. That's after she got through with that. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. I mean, we got less than 10% out of what was a torture report. I don't know. Is stuff left out or was it just repeating itself? I don't think it repeated itself nine times.
No, I remember when that was going on and how big of a deal it was, how long the Obama administration was fighting to keep the CIA torture report from being released. And in the end, as you're saying here, what released was just a small, tiny portion of. So we still don't know the truth of how, you know, the depths of CIA torture that was done under the Obama administration.
Yeah, and check this out. This is some power too, right? Newsweek reported that Haynes was sometimes called in the middle of the night to evaluate whether a suspected terrorist could be lawfully incinerated by a drone.
Wow.
I mean, that's some pretty intense incineration when it's lawful. I'm not exactly even sure how you lawfully incinerate suspects. But I guess
by a drone strike.
Yeah. So, you know, it's got a little strange history there with Avril Haines. I'm not sure that this all means an individual has to be, you know, how do you put it? You know, how do you come away from those sort of things and have like some real hope in this individual, you know?
Well, obviously, I would say obviously based on my perception of what she's been involved, because I didn't know her name, but I knew the actions of the Obama administration, and she was apparently involved in that. You know, that's somebody who buys into this rhetoric that if it's to defend the homeland or national security, then, you know, torture, targeted drone killings, whatever it may be, it's something we need to do. And then the other thing, Mike, I don't know if you were going to say something about this or if you noticed this, but it says also, I see here on her Wikipedia page, it says that she's worked in the private sector under Palantir. And Palantir is like a huge data mining firm that was founded by Peter Thiel from PayPal, who's also attended the Bilderberg Group and other organizations like that. It's a very dangerous company that is selling governments access to all kinds of information. And as it says here, they were accused of assisting the Trump administration with immigrant detention programs. And she was consulting for them at the time. So just another interesting connection. And in the Biden appointment, it's not like she's just being appointed White House chef or something. She's the Director of National Intelligence now.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I think, you know, looking at these people is pretty important because, you know, we have to admit the world we live in to a certain degree. And some decisions are going to be made by these people that are going to have all kinds of effects, economic effects, the way we live affects, the way other people live affects, how the money that they do get is spent. And I think I'm trying to think in a way that know, you know how we know what's going to happen sometimes, how paying attention to the news and such like that can help us both advance a message and, you know, be prepared and I guess, you know, better off. So with that being said, let's see what else is going to affect our lives. You're right. I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't recognize that history and what it meant, and I appreciate you drawing that out. I wanted to have a conversation with people about these appointees and see mm-hmm. how they affected, you know, their view of the future and change and, you know, the new boss. So
I got Lloyd Austin pulled up right here. This guy, if you want to.
Yeah, I think.
Or did you want to focus on one of them specifically? I know we got to talk about Janet Yellen for sure.
Yeah, well, this guy, he worked at Raytheon. You see him over there with, like, what is that, 7 rows of medals and stuff. So, you know, you got this, you know, general military industrial complex guy. But, I mean, what are we talking about here? He's nominated for probably the, you know,
Secretary of Defense.
That's what I was assuming. You know, but, and then in his private life, so we can see here, you know, in his private sector, Raytheon, and he has stock in Raytheon worth over $500,000. Compensation totaled 1.4 because, you know, good old military contractor. Wait, any like defense secretary? This is sort of like that Monsanto thing, right? I mean, Raytheon, defense secretary.
Do you see this last line though, Micah? This, like, he also, so we're talking for those who are listening and not watching.
Yeah,
we're talking about Lloyd Austin, who's just been appointed Secretary of Defense by Joe Biden. And it's saying here on his Wikipedia page, he operates a consulting firm and has been partner at Pine Island Capital, an investment company with which Antony Blinken, who's one of the other appointees, is also connected and affiliated. So you're kind of already starting to see some webs here.
Yeah, they're club members, right? I mean, and
yeah, it says that he was also, his nomination was supported by former Secretary of State Colin Powell. So that's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, and you know, he's got a long time military career. I was looking through to see if there, you know, had much political career, and he hasn't yet. Not really. So I guess he's a little bit of a long time military and private sector military contractor individual that is now coming into a governmental role. So a little bit of a wild card, but I don't know how much I would think. You know, we can count on some strong change there. An individual I wanted to look at also was Alejandro Mayorkas. He was born in Cuba, and I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, made it to the cabinet and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I get in there and I look at what he's done. He's been assistant United States attorney and worked in a private law practice and directed the citizenship for immigration services. And as I started getting in there, I saw there were some interesting things with communications, stuff like that. And I think I had him confused with another individual.
Well, I see something here I want to note from this guy that I think is relevant to everything now. It just says Mayorkas was involved in the Department of Homeland Security's counterterrorism and anti-cybercrime efforts, as well as its public-private partnerships and efforts to fight anti-Semitism. So I think that's interesting in light of everything we see going on right now with all this talk of domestic terror, domestic extremism. This guy's worked in the DHS kind of in that sector, like fighting cybercrime, fighting extremists, talking about counterterrorism.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's interesting because he's talking about a public-private partnership there as well. And that's another point that we've seen in these other individuals working Raytheon and then in government, working Monsanto and then government. And as we've seen before in the past with many administrations, this sort of, I guess, almost a corporatist mentality or philosophy, whether it's explicit or not. But also it says here in 2015, a Department of Homeland Security Inspector General report criticized Mayorkas' oversight of an EB-5 investor visa program. And check this out, Derek, which offered lawful permanent resident status, green cards, to foreign investors who invested $500,000 into businesses that created jobs in the U.S. Remember, we talked about this briefly, that program before. The program's popularity greatly increased under his tenure, And the report, which was the culmination of an investigation that started 2 years earlier, focused on allegations that politically connected businesses were given special treatment under the program, focusing specifically on the Sahara Casino and Hotel in Las Vegas, backed by then Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, an electric car company led by McAlfrey and involving Anthony Rodham. The report concluded that the juxtaposition of Mr. Mayorkas' communication with external stakeholders on specific matters outside the normal procedures, coupled with favorable action that deviated from the regulatory scheme designed to ensure fairness and even-handedness in adjudicating benefits, created an appearance of favoritism and special access. The fast-tracking of approvals for individuals involved in the casino program was controversial because it was made over the objections of analysts who were suspicious about the sources of the funds. I mean, that's kind of crazy in a way, just the whole, you know, being involved in these things. And you know, you got to figure these things have shaped these people. I don't know, man, those things are a bit much. So, I mean,
yeah, I think we've probably, unless there's too much, I think we should talk about Janet Yellen before we move on, but I think that we've probably made our point with you. And I want to show on screen, just real flash it real quick, what I was talking about earlier, for those who don't know his name. His name is Tom Vilsack. As agriculture secretary, we need a USDA secretary. You know, that's what they're working on, saying this is from Common Dream, saying that even progressives are denouncing Biden's pick of this guy nicknamed Mr. Monsanto as a terrible decision. Of course, the fox guarding the hen house. And yeah, this guy, there's actually from the Organic Consumers Association, I found a link earlier that does has a running list of all the different genetically modified foods that were approved under this guy's you know, kind of tenure previously. And he's one of the revolving doors working for Monsanto, coming back to government back and forth. And yeah, he's on the Biden team.
Wow. It's interesting. We have to take the time to talk about this, and we need to hit Anthony Blinken for a minute. He's had senior foreign policy positions in two administrations over two decades. I mean, this is more of that, you know, something new is going to happen, right? You know, everything's been saved because now we have what, the old regime, this same guy here, he supported the US led invasion of Iraq in 2003. Okay. I mean, that's what we got now.
Yeah. Same old stuff, man. And we should say, I know this is something you've been talking about the Federal Reserve longer than I have, but I know that we've been talking about it together about 10 years. And, now, and it was, you know, of course, years ago, some of you might remember there was a big end the Fed movement around the country because of former congressman and former presidential candidate Ron Paul and others. And it's kind of gone away mostly. People don't really talk about it too much. I know Donald Trump paid lip service to it, you know, when he was running.
They need them checks.
Yeah. And now we have Janet Yellen, 15th chair of the Federal Reserve from 2014 to 2018, who was, you know, celebrated as the first woman to be the chair of the Federal Reserve, which is not federal, does not hold reserves, and is not, you know, it's kind of this not non-governmental, quasi-governmental thing. Joe Biden nominates her to serve in his cabinet as Secretary of Treasury. So straight from the Federal Reserve central banking system, which is built on debt, fiat currency, fractional reserve banking, with all the banksters, straight from there to heading the U.S. Treasury Department.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you like it? You got to like it. You know,
I don't know how much more obvious it can get.
Why do they even change the names?
I don't understand how, this is something we were talking about earlier off air, Mike. I think it might be worth kind of reflecting on for a few moments, is that we have people who are more left-leaning or progressive or however they want to identify, who kind of are so sick of Trump that they're just like, okay, let's give Biden a chance. Yeah, he's not that great. You know, we saw some things we didn't like. We didn't like him last year. We were in favor of Bernie, but let's go with it, right? At least Trump's gone. And I worry that a lot of these folks are, as we saw during the Obama years, because remember, everybody was ready to get rid of Bush, happy to be rid of Bush after 8 years. So who cares? And then Obama comes in and sweet talking and first black president and real young and all that. And of course, Joe Biden was right there with him. And people were like, poo-pooing us being critical of Obama. And I very much remember in the beginning, people were like, just give him some time. Or like, you know, even some people who were like, you don't want to be too harsh with him because he's the first black president, and we don't want his legacy to be, you know, the first black president to have a bad legacy, which I think is just silly. And this is why, to me, the idea that because we make things more diverse and we have transgender people in the administration, or white or black or brown or, you know, disabled, or just all the kinds of different identity politics we could bring in the situation, none of that's going to make sure that this doesn't keep happening, that the Federal Reserve and the corporations and the Monsantos and the banksters and the big tech keep coming in. Like, that's not going to stop it. But I don't know. I just think that it's important.
An important point, because it's not like there's not validity to the pain that people feel in their struggles with their, you know, I guess, identity and the structures that we live in that have caused racism and you know, just spurred disproportionality in the way we live. It's not like those aren't important. But at the same time, as you mentioned, fighting those issues only or exclusively doesn't address these core human issues that everybody's sort of being oppressed by. And some people use, you know, diverse words to label these structures. But, you know, I often use, you know, corporatist structures here, like we've been talking about in the last, you know, article that we've covered here, as well as discussing the Federal Reserve. I think it's interesting. So we've had Goldman Sachs Treasury secretaries, and now we've had actual Federal Reserve secretaries as secretaries of the Treasury. I wonder. That's just amazing.
Yeah, I got a story I do want to jump into before we get too far along to the Biden thing. I do want to comment, though. We have Chris GMA Grandma over on DLive saying, I was one of the ignorant ones who thought the Federal Reserve was actually federal government owned and ran. Waking up was painful. And somebody else suggested fourth state of matter. I think this is a good comment. Try to focus on solutions, not mainstream media narratives. And we agree with that. We I think part of the solution is helping people who are still in the grip of this two-party system question that narrative, and then, you know, start to talk about solutions and ideas. And I guess on that front, I will mention briefly, some of you who listen regularly may notice we're missing our co-host, Johnny. The three of us have not been together in a few weeks. It's been either me and Johnny or me and Micah. But Johnny is in Houston at the Houston Freedom Cell meeting. For anybody who's interested in that in Houston, listening in Houston, there are lots of people organizing on Telegram and on the Freedom Cell website, freedomcells.org. People just like yourself who are looking for solutions, who are looking to connect with other people locally to maybe share skills or grow food or just talk about ideas and dealing with everything crazy that we have going on. If that sounds like something appealing to you and you're in Houston or wherever you're at, I encourage you to check out freedomcells.org and check out the concept and get into that, because that is a solution. And what I was going to say, Micah, because I know we've got a couple more kind of Biden notes and kind of we're moving into that. And then we're going to talk about some drones and, of course, police state, because those things don't go away no matter what president's in power. But I wrote this piece that I'm not going to read the whole thing or even most of it, but I'll just kind of I'll just list the points. And it's called, Here Are 18 Ways That Trump Supported the Swamp During His Presidency. And I felt like, you know what, we can't just let the people, on one hand, you have people who are so ready to get rid of Trump that they just don't want to hear about him anymore, right? And then you have the Trump supporters who are kind of being the mirror image of the Hillary Clinton supporters in 2016. They're so upset right now. They're like, just leave us alone. We don't want to talk about this, right? Or I've seen people saying, well, he's not president anymore, Derek. Why does it matter? But what I wrote in this is that, you know, before we kind of move on and just forget about everything Trump has done, I think it's important to have this moment of reflection. And what I wrote here, I'll just read this section. My concern is that folks who previously supported many of the actions taken by Trump will not recover the principles that they once held, and instead will further entrench themselves in the false left-right paradigm, convincing themselves that Trump represented the fight against the deep state and that Biden is the swamp incarnate. The problem with this belief is it reinforces the idea that one party is better than the other, when in reality, they're both playing for the same team. Most importantly, the belief that Trump was fighting the deep state is not backed up by the facts. And I just, you know, here's my partial list of evidence. So I'm just going to read the headlines, and I'll share the link. This can be found on thelastamericanvagabond.com. Nominating industry insiders. And for each of these points, I give evidence. So, you know, we're not going to read all the evidence, but you know, you can come and read it yourself. Nominating industry insiders, just like what we were talking about with Joe Biden, Micah, it's the same thing, of course. Oil industry, big oil was my number two. You know, there's been lots of information about that throughout his administration. Cozy with big pharma. We saw that as soon as he started appointing people. His first appointment was Alex Azar, Trump's appointment to Secretary of Department of Health and Human Services. And he comes right from big pharma, career lobbyist for Eli Lilly and Company, the big pharmaceutical giant. Number four, Trump supported the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Number five, he ended investigations into pesticide dangers whenever he came into office that were ongoing in the EPA. He made it easier for GMOs to enter the food supply. And then, of course, now Biden's passing it down the field further with this Mr. Monsanto man coming into office. Trump was bad on gun rights. A lot of his, that might not be important to some people, but his base, it is important. And Trump supported controversial red flag laws, as well as a bump stock ban on firearms. Eight, his support of an expansion of the 5G rollout, which we've talked about over the years. His support of the Syria false flag narrative, which has been conclusively proven. We have had whistleblowers come out from the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons saying that their testimony was changed and altered and that there was no gas attack in Douma, Syria in April 2018. And Donald Trump, though, when that attack, that alleged attack came out, he bombed Syria and, of course, you know, didn't question the narrative. And the mainstream fired journalists. We've talked about that. We played that interview here. Tarak Haddad, formerly of Newsweek, who had to quit his job because they wouldn't let him write about it. Trump, as I call him, is the drone emperor. He took Obama's drone king stance and took it to a new level, expanding drone bombing by up to 330% more civilian deaths. Not just generally, you know, some people hear that and they're like, well, good, he's killing ISIS or whatever. No, this is 330% increase from 2016 to 2019, and that's not even the final numbers, of civilians who've been killed in international airstrikes. 11, his administration fought to keep the presidential kill list secret, which Obama helped create. But as we were talking about with that woman who's now coming into the director of national intelligence, Trump also fought to keep that secret because he wanted to use it too. 12, he lied to the 9/11 victims' families several times. 13, he imprisoned an American citizen without trial or charge for over a year, a man who was accused of terrorism and was never officially charged and eventually let go, but he was held. Trump continued to support the NDAA indefinite detention clause, which was passed in 2011, 2012. Every single year when the National Defense Authorization Act, the military budget was re-signed and repassed, Trump didn't say a single peep about the fact that it has a clause which allows for indefinite detention of American citizens. 15, his administration attempted to block testimony on CIA torture, much like the Obama administration we were talking about a moment ago, Micah. They invoked state secret privilege to keep the two psychologists who created the CIA's torture program from testifying in court. And number 16, they expanded the empowered the police state. I go through a few different examples, namely under Trump's calls for like fighting illegal immigration along the border. He heavily militarized the border and approved of facial recognition cameras being installed along the border. They've started to collect DNA of individuals who are detained but not charged along the border. They've started programs to scan the face of every single person flying out of the U.S. as well as people who are driving across the borders. 17, supporting the persecution and prosecution of Julian Assange and Chelsea Manning, and of course, not pardoning either one of them or Edward Snowden. And number 18, his nearly three-decade relationship with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. So yeah, that's just 18 ways that I could think of, and I'm sure we could keep going further than that, that Donald Trump supported the swamp during his presidency, and I just think it's important to kind of have that moment before people try to start deifying this guy and, you know, no, he was all these wonderful things or whatever. And, you know, and those, a lot of those reasons, those aren't things that you hear from the typical left-wing people. They want to talk about things that I think have a place, but maybe aren't the bigger picture. You know, they don't talk about war. They don't talk about that.
It seems to often be the case in the criticism. I think a lot of the criticism is led by the 4 a.m. talking points of either side. But I think often the criticism, it comes from stuff that isn't stuff they do themselves. They want to try to jump on them every chance they get on something that they don't want to criticize drone bombings too hard, because after all, they had the drone bombing king, and who knows what the next level is after this guy, right? And it's just, they want to keep doing that. They don't want to criticize the stimulus because they want to keep being able to create money without raising taxes and just watering down everything that's out there. See what I mean? So I don't think they'll ever really direct the media attention on the media giants' attention towards any of these real issues that they both have an interest in continuing. And I think that's something, like, I think because it's blaring all the time, there's screens everywhere all the time. I think what's missing in the screens is something we need to somehow start being able to notice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm hoping that, I don't know how optimistic I am, but I'm trying to be optimistic that this change. And look, the reality is, Micah, there's a lot of people who are disappointed because they fell for QAnon stuff. Some people, I don't know, they've moved the goalposts now. Now, apparently Trump's going to be inaugurated in March. Like, there's going to, you know, that's the whole new thing, right? So these people are still going, right? It's insane to me. But a lot of people have finally got it. Like, oh my God, we were played. Or even if they still think Trump is a great guy, they accept, like, they got to move on. And so you either can keep worshiping at the altar of Trump, or you can say, let's keep fighting. You know, that's kind of the whole point of the name of this episode. Like, it doesn't really matter who the president is. Like you were saying, Micah, they pass the ball back and forth. They don't question the surveillance. They don't question the police state. You know, we saw the big thing for defunding the police, right? But then they militarized the whole Capitol to inaugurate Biden, and all the left cheers it on because, you know, well, at least those crazy right-wing extremists aren't getting in there. You know, it's just, I'm really hoping and trying to be optimistic that with everything going on, there could be a new push for a recognition that the left and the right do not serve the people, because I really think the Trump years were very damaging to that. People who previously thought or said, claimed to be libertarian or just freedom minded kind of were like, well, maybe we do need a strong man. Maybe we do, you know, the radical left is so dangerous. We need Trump to come in and, you know, stop the, you know, there was all these excuses that were made. And I'm just hoping that people can kind of step away from that finally.
I don't understand this left right thing at all. I don't see where any of them are clinging to, like, just this whole idea of individual liberty. Like, I see them constantly choosing the collective over. So I don't feel like, I feel like both are on some other extreme. They're both on some other authoritarian regime. I don't know what wing is that, you know? Where's the wing of the people who want to, like, build a system that respects individual liberty, you know, that sort of thing? Where's the room for that? What wing is that?
I don't know, but I will say that, I think we should probably hit a song break here in a moment, but I will say it's pretty interesting, all the things they're saying. And to me, this is like, okay, this is more of the soap opera, This Week in America. You know, it's literally a freaking reality TV show. We had a reality star president. But they're saying that Trump is likely going to either do one of three things, or maybe all three things: launch a social network, launch a news station, and launch a new political party that is what, you know, some sources are saying is going to be called the Patriot Party, which to me would just be a further, like, taking that word in the wrong direction. But it'll be interesting, whatever's coming. I mean, but at least I'm hoping that people can accept, if you're here, if you're hearing this and it's been a difficult week for you because you wanted Trump to stay in somehow, or you just don't like Biden, guys, we can fight no matter who president is. We can fight the power. We can fight, like, back by getting organized and, you know, looking for solutions and exposing the flaws in both sides and realizing that it's not just the Trumps and it's not just the Bidens and the Obamas. You know, some of you might have seen the picture at the inauguration. Micah, you had Bush, Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Michelle Obama, all hanging out, smiling together, you know, and then the Clintons were there somewhere, right? Like, it's just.
Did they have martinis?
What'd you say?
Did they have martinis?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe so, right? I mean, I honestly, I won't be surprised. This might sound crazy to some people, but I won't be surprised if in the next couple of years, Trump is rehabilitated and he's out there hanging out with all of them too. Because Bush was very hated after his term, and now he's the beloved George Bush making paintings, and he's so cute and silly, old man, whatever, like, war criminal. I guarantee you, as stupid as our country is, these people will probably still, like, think Trump's cool, and they'll reflect back, and it was like, yeah, it was a tumultuous time in America. It's like
they were TV stars or something, like they played this role as the crazy president or whatever.
Yeah, it's nuts. All right, let's go to a song. You want to play DeFeo's?
Yeah, former guest here in the show in the KPFT studios. And then they made this radio edit version. They call it Mr. Clean. I think it's normally called Mr. Green, but this clean version is Mr. Clean.
Cool. Well, we'll play this song. You guys are listening to Freethinker Radio on the Conscious Resistance Network and 90.1 KPFT Houston. I'm going to hit a quick song break and we'll be back. We're going to continue to talk about the police state, continue to expose that no matter who's president, the power continues to fight against the people. Stay tuned.
Marijuana smoking, experts point out, can make a helpless addict of its victim within weeks, causing physical and moral ruin and death. Should you ever be confronted with the temptation of taking that first puff of a marijuana cigarette, don't do it.
The weed man is back in town.
All right. Welcome back to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston and the Conscious Resistance Network. My name is Derek Bros. I'm here with Micah. That was, what was the song called? Mr. Clean?
Yes, Mr. Green, the Mr. Clean version.
Gotcha. Cool. You can find them on, you know, all the usual places, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you can find T-A-T-E-H, Tay fails because they can't even get that right. But they're fun. Always enjoy having them come in. And, you know, we're speaking of solutions here and there. And Dustin and a couple other members of that band have come through the Epicurean Market over there on Heights Boulevard, supported, played music, stuff like that. You know, we've done a number of benefit shows in the past, Derek and I. And I think that seeing that, being plugged into music in that way is important. And I'm glad we were able to play that song. I know we played it pretty regularly about a couple of years ago, but it's kind of nice to be able to plug back into the music scene because I feel, you know, I've been doing a lot less since COVID came in. And so thank goodness for KPFT still getting the music out to people. I've discovered some music on other shows here, and I appreciate that, as well as other similar stations in other parts of the country, as I actually journeyed around recently, and that was fun. Don't tell anyone. I might get traced.
Nice. Yeah, it's good to definitely support the music scene, and yeah, I'm hoping that more and more people are getting out there and not staying in their homes. I know there's a lot of, dare I say, propaganda out there trying to tell people to stay home, and many people are concerned that it's only going to get worse. Micah and I were talking earlier. You know, I'm still in Mexico. He's in Houston, of course. And starting next Wednesday, July 26th, the CDC is going to require anybody flying back into the U.S. from other countries to take the PCR thing up your nose and show proof of a negative test within 72 hours in order to enter the country via flights. I mean, that's something that I think we've been warning about on the show since this whole thing started last February, March, when we were doing our last shows in studio, right, when everything started to shut down. We were talking, do you remember, Michael, we talked to my friend from Italy, and he was just describing how everything was getting locked down. And we were kind of like, hey, this could eventually happen in the United States. Like he was saying we couldn't go anywhere without, you know, unless he was walking his dog and he had to have a pass with him and all this kind of crazy stuff that people have seen come to pass. So, yeah, I just think that, you know, we're in a really interesting time and I'm hoping that people can still find time to connect with people, get out, listen to some music, have some fun, do whatever you can.
I feel like we gotta in the face of this. There's a lot of crazy stuff and, you know, we could always look at, you know, you're taught history, right? We're all taught history, at least in our society. We're taught a certain degree of history. We're taught it at least as a subject, right? And so when you start seeing things that we've seen before, it gets a little alarming. I'm a little concerned that the economy's been so bad. You know, they record unemployment and it keeps happening, you know, 900,000 last week. And the reason I'm bringing this up is we've got COVID along with what was already a really rough economy. So I think we can't live in all this fear because that's going to make it even worse, where people are going to need those stimulus checks to survive, or you know, maybe they can go to work on one of these industrial Amazon shipping places or something. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I want to mention a couple of things you said there as far as like, okay, so we're thinking COVID, right? Thinking solutions. I do want to just plug this. I don't think I've ever mentioned it on our show, but next week, for anybody who's hearing this on Friday in Houston, tomorrow, you still have time. Next week, Monday through Friday, I'm co-hosting a free online event that's taking place the entire week. It's called the Greater Reset, thegreaterreset.org. And it's going to be Monday through Friday and Sunday, Monday through Friday from 6 to 9:30 p.m. Central. So you can tune in, watch for free on the website. And it's basically about 30 different speakers from kind of different disciplines. Each day has a different theme. And as we've talked on this show, Micah, the World Economic Forum is pushing their Great Reset agenda, their vision of the world. And they are meeting next week. They typically try to meet in person in Davos, Switzerland. But because of everything going on, they say they're going to be doing it digitally. But myself and our mutual friend, John Bush, we started thinking like maybe there's a way to kind of put out some solutions that week instead of everybody just watching what they're doing for a week obsessively. Like, oh, look, they said they're going to do this with the transportation system. They're saying they're going to do this with the finance because, you know, it's just like this is sort of the more public face of the Bilderberg Group. The guy, Klaus Schwab, who is the current chairman of the World Economic Forum, is also a steering committee member of the Bilderberg Group. And so they invite, you know, 5,000 or so business people, all these different people. And some of them are probably just coming to share their product and their ideas or whatever. But a lot of them are very much a part of this agenda. And in the COVID time, they're taking advantage of it. They're saying this presents the perfect opportunity for us to reset capitalism. Capitalism has shown it's broke and COVID's proving this. Unemployment, everything you're talking about, they're blaming on COVID. They're not acknowledging that this pre-existed, you know, before everything. And so we're just trying to put forward some solutions. So yeah, if anybody's interested.
Said they would do mm-hmm. was breaking.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm saying, like that next week they're going to be meeting. They announced the Great Reset in June of 2020. They put out a book in July. They've been putting out podcasts and fancy videos on their website, but this next week is going to be the kind of official unveiling of what their Great Reset agenda is in all these different areas. And you know, we're going to, of course, pay attention and see what they say and what we need to be aware of. But what we're also going to do is say, like, let's focus on alternatives. So each, like the first day is economics, finance, kind of talking about everything from crypto to alternative currencies to gift economy and just different ideas on that. The second day is health and education. Third day is like nature, environment, permaculture, talking about how we can actually maybe get closer to the planet and grow our food or get closer to that relationship without supporting the United Nations Agenda 2030 and those kinds of things. Thursday, we're going to talk about like digital technology, encryption, and stuff that can be the liberating side of technology, because the World Economic Forum definitely has plans to use blockchain and some other things in a way that is not private and very like tracked and traced kind of society. We want to show some of the liberating side of tech. And then Friday will be people talking about intentional communities and organizing in different ways. We're going to hear from somebody talking about sociocracy, kind of an alternative way to try to organize your business or your activist group or whatever it may be. So yeah, I mean, that's going to be totally free for anybody who's interested. That's next Monday through Friday, thegreaterreset.org. I just want to throw that out there. And then I want to share this real quick, Micah, if you've ever, I don't know if you've seen this, I'm going to probably watch this later, but it's just kind of related to, since we mentioned COVID, this interview is from a month ago, but I think it's interesting. Glenn Greenwald talking about big tech censoring the COVID debate. This was a month ago, and now we're seeing, of course, all the censoring different things, people who are being labeled associated with the Capitol riot or protest or whatever you want to call it, or losing their jobs, getting fired. You know, I know there was like a cop from Houston we saw in different departments. Like it's interesting, right? But we're seeing people are starting to recognize that the power that big tech has, and a lot of those big tech people are sitting in Biden's cabinet.
No doubt, no doubt. I think you mentioned a lot of really important things. That Greater Reset sounds interesting. It sounds inspiring, something that, you know, people should be able to take away from the ideas of, and if they don't, if they're not able to participate, even though it's free, they could take away and put some of that ideas into action in their own life, or apply what they think a Greater Reset would be in the face of this. One thing I thought was interesting, you mentioned food, and I wanted to mention, I was at the Epicurean market, and these kids, they were great. They were like maybe eight or younger, three of them, little family, and they were from Little Eden Acres, and they brought a tray of microgreens, and I ate pumpkin and radish. Those were spicy, and something else, I think, spring greens. I don't remember. But I was like, these kids knew all about it. They told me how I had more nutrition, et cetera, et cetera. So I was really amazed. You know, we talked about these before and how fast they grow. And you were talking about, you know, just being able to sustain and look at ways to sustain. Often we've talked about just growing a tomato plant, something to start with. And I just was impressed by these kids who worked with their family to bring these things to a market in this economy, in this COVID environment, whatever you want to say, and the ability for me to enjoy something that they'd produced. We picked some of those up. So I don't want to go on too long about that, but there's stuff like that going on at these markets all around this city and others. And I think, you know, you could plug into it by just pulling up one day somewhere.
Getting plugged in. Yeah, definitely. It's a good time to be trying to grow as much of your food or supporting local farmers if you can. We've been covering here for months now, Micah, the warnings about food shortages. Those are still right there on the horizon despite presidential change. Unless those things all of a sudden change, there's still been predictions, and based on some numbers in Texas and other places, that there's going to be food shortages at food banks coming up in the coming months, and especially if there's more calls for locking people down and things like that, which might be changing here in the Biden administration. We've got about like 13, 14 minutes left on this KPFT edition. So I know we wanted to get into some police state news, but I did want to just highlight this real quick. The drones are about to hit the sky, huh?
Yeah, for sure. We don't have much time, but I thought that was interesting. The FAA is going to make it, they approved their first fully automated commercial drone flights. We knew it was only a matter of time. The headline says it all. We'll see, we'll see where this leads to and what we think about it, obviously, and how it affects our lives as we experience it. It's kind of like 5G. We're all going to be in it. Hey, you're muted.
I say it's going to be one of weird because it's just one of these things that you can't really stop or control, even if maybe you wanted to or thought that was the solution. But we're going to be, we're already in the world where Domino's and Amazon and Walmart and everybody else is testing how drone delivery could be for their companies in the next couple of years. And this is, of course, the fourth industrial revolution, the change of everything that they're saying. We're going to see drones flying overhead all over the place, small drones, big drones, hopefully not predator drones.
Well, it's a way
And
also, it's part of a way that they can say, look, here's a viable, perhaps, and that's an argument in itself, alternative to other types of shipping, less pollution, these different arguments
exactly.
will be able to pass as even being have a business. Maybe you making lemonade is too dangerous. Maybe you making barbecue is too dangerous. Maybe you having a restaurant is too dangerous. I don't know what'll happen.
Well, I think you're right as far as like the environmental side of things, because that's one of the things we've seen with COVID is we've seen them say things like, well, since everybody's staying home, now we can see that the environment's being taken care of and everything's better. So even as part of the marketing of the Great Reset, they have like memes and things that say like, stay home for the good of the planet. Like, you already locked down, now locked down for the planet. And I've even seen some ideas floated that we might get to a point where we need to have climate lockdowns that like, when they say that the heat's going up or, different things are happening in the climate, whatever sort of measurements that they choose, like maybe there's ocean acidification or whatever kind of measurements they say, well, then let's lock society down so the planet can rest. And then once the climate's okay, we can come back out. I mean, so I definitely think that this part of this sort of overall agenda is promoting the use of drones and like stay home and just get everything delivered, just sort of like distance learning, telemedicine, telehealth, all that stuff, which of course is the backbone of it is 5G. It's very much part of this agenda to, I think, to keep people from interacting face to face, it seems like, and just kind of making things more digital. But that's just my take on it. You want to jump into these police state ones you had pulled up? Oh, go
Yeah,
ahead.
I thought about that, about less interaction amongst people, whether that's a side effect, fallout, or just an intentional aspect of this. But yeah, for sure. Yeah, that one I thought was interesting. It's just maybe the headline says it all. I'm not sure. Let's get into this one a minute. My computer had to spin. So it turns out as of January 1st, 2021, a new law will go into effect that allows police to also prosecute people for harassing a public servant. And that you'd think that that would be already be sort of like a problem, like already something that there's illegal, aspect to. But they say on top of granting cops their ability to sue citizens for harassment, it also criminalizes said harassment. So you know how citizens
Wow.
have basically sue police in order to get justice and so many things. Now they're allowing the police to sue citizens and make it criminal to harass them. And some of this stuff you think was already illegal, like to hurt a police officer. It's already illegal to hurt anyone, last I heard, right? But to intimidate, harass, or terrorize, terrorism I thought was a crime already, but I guess that you need an extra one
It's like a special class for the cops.
that's what it sort of seems like. And coming on the, what we see could be a growing economic problem because we, just the numbers we keep seeing. It'd be one thing, oh, they're talking about, oh, it's better because it's not as bad as when it first was. But the fact that it's been maintained this bad for this long and continues is a big problem. But yeah, so they already have so many things, as far as the state versus an individual.
I could see this going so wrong, man. I mean, I just think about the times that over the years that you and I and Houston Freethinkers and whoever else have been out, like maybe peacefully protesting and holding some signs or passing out some flyers or even, trying to do some cop watching and just holding cops accountable or just having cops be aggressive on us. And the next thing we know, we're having to kind of go back and forth with them or film them or something. How hard would it be for one of these cops to try to interpret that as like maliciously harassing them or something, you know? And like I've had to fight cases against HPD for being accused of scratching a cop's thumb. So I would say that they're, you know, above this.
You'd get that for sure for scratching that thumb and harassing at that point, because you can't scratch a thumb and not be harassing. So, you know, it's like that. And that's part of the problem. And that's what this article really brings up. And it talks about just the insanity of this. 126 different officers, of which 44 have been convicted of 31 of their cases still pending, and only 7 cops out of 126 have been convicted of murder out of 126 brought up. Just these different proportionate things, you know, that show that this, you know, just the average person versus an officer and their ability to, you know, not be brought to what justice everyone else would face.
And then you've got Georgia, right?
Pardon me? Yes.
Georgia.
Yes.
So, and, yeah, I'm looking at the quote here from the ACLU, and it just says, like, basically what you're saying, that it turns the law enforcement into a protected class.
Yeah. And you know, this is kind of like red flag laws. You might see it here, start up here. And I think those are the reasons why we keep an eye to, you know, what's going on around. I think it's, I think, you know, it's one of those things. You just got to see how it's going to be used. You can see already that it can be abused. And I mean, think about it. And so now when you're out there and you're saying, don't kill people to the police or something, if someone takes that as harassment, you know, they can turn around and sue you and try to get, like, if you got a car or something, take your stuff from you as well as have you thrown in jail. So you lose your job and you can't pay for a lawyer to fight them. I mean, come on now. And they're going to say, oh, Micah, you're being extreme here. That's an extreme example. But like, we got to think about the power of a law.
Yeah, exactly. We're down here just to the last 5 minutes on Freethinker Radio here on 90.1 KPFT Houston and the Conscious Resistance Network. We got another cop story to bring you guys, because I think that if there's a theme today, which sometimes we're all over the place, sometimes there's themes, it is, for one, that even if there's a new president or whatever the president is, that we can keep exposing these kinds of corruptions and these kinds of concerning bills and new measures. And we can also talk about solutions. We can talk about growing food. We can talk about how we can help and support each other, that no matter what's going on, there are opportunities for us to see that it's going to be the same old thing in the political system, but we can support each other. And I think that's important to recognize, as we're recognizing that things like this, the police state, police corruption continues no matter who's in office.
Yeah, and we have to continue, and as you said, support each other, having the dialogue, pushing the issues and conversing with people, hearing their point of view, even at first, if it's uncomfortable and we don't agree with them. If we just sometimes are quiet and hear them, we can hear what they're concerned about and then show them the right way to enact something about that. I shouldn't say the right way, but you know what I mean. A better, less authoritarian way. I thought this one was really important. We ought to hit it, at least as long as we're talking about solutions, because here we sort of have what we might call a good cop. They say, and I've heard it in lots of songs, there ain't no such thing, but I don't know that that's true. I'd like to believe that there's at least one, and this sounds like a candidate, perhaps, and as far as we're talking about solutions, I think if we had good cops stand up, that might be a solution. So this is from the Free Thought Project, and it's speaking about it. I'm going to cut straight to the paragraphs that matter. The most recent ticket writing and arrest scheme to be exposed comes out of Chicago, Illinois. The Chicago Police Department is one of the most notoriously corrupt departments in the country, which is why it should come as no surprise that the cop who exposed the illegal quota system was retaliated against. We often hear and see that whistleblowers are retaliated against, so it has a lot of, we need to have a little bit of, I guess, respect when they step up and say something, or at least, you know, recognize that that's a valuable service for them to do that. Chicago Police Lieutenant Franklin Paz, Jr., 48, has filed a lawsuit since then against the department after he was demoted and reassigned to an entry-level position for exposing the department's illegal arrest quota. Paz was in charge of a platoon of cops in a special unit called Community Safety Team. As the lawsuit illustrates, however, the team was not at all concerned with safety, nor did they care about community. The quota system, according to the lawsuit, was run by Deputy Chief Michael Bars, who urged Paz and other lieutenants to increase the number of arrests, traffic stops, tickets, regardless of actual criminal activity. In other words, cops were told to act like mafia goons and constantly shake down and harass citizens within the community. The use of numbers and statistics, particularly traffic stops, became the primary basis that Bars used to evaluate the work that officers under his command were doing, the lawsuit said. The lawsuit also said Bars expected officers assigned to the new team to generate specific amounts of police activity per shift they worked. According to CBS, there are more than 1,000 officers assigned, which means tens of thousands of citizens were harassed by them on a daily basis.
Wow. We've just got about a minute or two left, Mike. I just want to throw in a comment on this. I mean, I think this is, like you said, I do believe that there are good cops out there. We're not ones to sign and say, you know, F all cops, that none of them are good. I definitely see problems in the system, but this is a big story and this is a solution. And you mentioned this, that if some of the solutions is we need cops on our side. So I just want to throw this up real quick before we head out of here. A friend of mine, an associate, he has this website, this project called The Thick Red Line. If you go to thickredline.org, and his project is specifically aimed at trying to build bridges between cops and individuals and, you know, get cops to recognize that if there's no victim, there's no crime, and that they should not be harassing people for civil asset forfeiture and other things like that. And so trying to kind of build a bridge between that. And I think that if there's cops like this sergeant exposing cops being forced to do a quota, then there's potential.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Thanks for bringing that to light. I had not heard about that Thick Red Line. Thanks, KPFT and everybody that supported. I don't know. I'm looking forward to the next episode. It's good to be back. It's been a minute for me.
Yeah, it has been. And we're thankful to everybody who listens. We do this every week again on 90.1 KPFT Houston. It airs Friday afternoons at 3 p.m. Central. If you've got friends in Houston, let them know. You can always find us at thehoustonfreethinkers.com and, of course, support at kpft.org. We'll be back next week and hopefully Johnny will be with us. You guys stay sane. Take care of yourself and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, stay sane. Deuce. Peace.